From Jakarta, this is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with Indonesia Today.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.
Hello listener, welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. In today's edition, we will present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, My Indonesia, and News in Brief. We'll continue our program for today with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news first, the lines. Indonesia eyeing Iran's market for automotive and textile products. Indonesia calls G20 to be global role model, problem solver. Those are the lines. Now the news in detail. I'm Dalat Pane. Indonesian ambassador to the Islamic Republic of Iran, Octaviano Alimuddin Saad, the bilateral cooperation between Indonesia and Iran in politics and economy increased significantly. He told RRI Voice of Indonesia recently that after the visit of President Joko Widodo to Iran, there was an increase in trading volume of more than 50%. In 2016, Indonesia and Iran set a trade volume of $338 million. He said Indonesian crude palm oil, CPO, and food products exports to Iran posted an increase. He hopes Indonesian automotive and textile products can enter Iran market in the future.
We want also to further pursue the markets of Iran for our textiles industries and automotive industries. That is why for Indonesia, we are pursuing to finalize the preferential tariff agreement. Which we have series of negotiations. In 2017, we have two negotiations, and we hope in 2018 we will also have another negotiations.
Octaviano further said, in the field of investment, based on data from the Investment Coordinating Board, Iran was the big 33rd investor, which invests in 17 projects in Indonesia until 2017. He hopes in 2018, Iranian investment will increase. He also stressed that there were several Indonesia-Iran joint projects in Palu and Situbondo at present. In politics, Iran supports Indonesia's candidacy as the United Nations Non-Permanent Security Council in 2019. In addition, Indonesia and Iran also frequently conduct consultations between government and frequent visit of both senior official members. The biggest threat for Indonesia is the threat toward state ideology. Terrorism is a huge threat that Indonesia must overcome. It was stated by Indonesian Defense Minister Ria Mizar Yaqudu after a brief personnel of Army Strategic Reserve Command, Kostrat, at the headquarters of Divisi 1 Kostrat in Cilodong, West Java on Tuesday. Ria Mizar said, if there are factions that want to change the five basic principles as state ideology, it is much better for them not to live in Indonesia.
Teroris ini adalah satu mengganti ideologi negara.
The terrorists is first they want to change their state ideology. Changing the Indonesian state ideology with Khilafah is not allowed. All people will against it. Moreover, the Indonesian military, which has its oath, we are Knights of Indonesia as supporters and defenders of state ideology, who are responsible. Never give up. Never give up until the end. People who do not like Pancasila, they cannot do it, does it? Furthermore, Indonesian Defense Minister Ria Mizar Yaqudu said that in countering terrorism, the people's mindset is needed to be developed based on Pancasila. He added it is needed to make them are not easy to be influenced and provoked by the brainstorming doing by certain groups. Indonesian Foreign Ministry said in a press statement on Tuesday, May 22, that the Indonesian government has called on all G20 member countries to become global models and problem solvers amidst the many uncertainties in the world. Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi said, the world community has been looking at the G20 as a reference in facing global challenges since 2018. Therefore, the G20 should lead by being a role model and always try to be a solution to global problems. The statement was presented by Minister Marsudi at the G20 Foreign Ministers' Meeting in Palacio San Martin, Buenos Aires, Argentina on Monday. At the first session of the G20 Foreign Ministers' Meeting entitled Multilateralism and Global Governance, Marsudi asserted the importance of G20 in creating a balance between the interests of developed countries and developing countries. Related to that, she emphasized the need for the G20 to increase its efforts in completing the discussion on various global strategic issues, such as reforming the international financial system, as well as strengthening open, fair, and transparent multilateral trading system. In addition, the foreign minister also discussed the importance of multilateralism. Furthermore, Minister Marsudi stressed the importance of improving governance quality in the G20. The minister also requested the G20 member countries to be consistent with the implementation of their commitments and resolutions. Indonesia and Japan agreed to increase their support of humanitarian aid to Palestinian refugees during the G20 Foreign Ministers' Meeting in Buenos Aires, Argentina. A press release from the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs stated on Tuesday, May 22, that the commitment of both countries was conferred by Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi while meeting with her Japanese counterpart Taro Kono on the sidelines of the G20 Foreign Ministers' Meeting in San Martin Palace, Buenos Aires, Argentina on Monday. Both ministers agreed to increase their support to Palestinians through cooperation among East Asian countries for Palestinian Development, CEAPAD. Marsudi and Kono also exchanged views on Indo-Pacific cooperation and ASEAN centrality in the region. During Sunday's session, the G20 Foreign Minister discussed the general global outlook, while Monday's agenda focused on multilateralism and global governance as a response to new cross-border challenges ranging from cybersecurity to the use of information and communication technologies to the changing paradigms in trade and migration. This news comes to you over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The House of Representatives DPR Special Committee for the Anti-Terrorism Law team is meeting with the government in Jakarta Wednesday, May 23. The meeting is to discuss the definition of terrorism. Muhammad Safi, chairman of the Special Committee, said there is a phrase that the team believes to be necessary to be included in defining terrorism, but the government has not included it in their presentation. Safi said before the meeting began that the phrase's motive or political purpose and threat to the national security are not summarized in the definition presented by the government. Safi hopes that the drafting team and the government can find a common ground that adheres to the logics of law, because he said those parts are what distinguish ordinary crime from acts of terrorism. If the legal logic can be agreed upon, Safi said that today's meeting will run very short. The government is pressed to finalize the law revision following a series of terror attacks from the headquarters of Brimob's riot to the church bombings in Surabaya, East Java. Bank Indonesia is preparing to provide 188.2 trillion rupiah cash money during the 2018 8 holidays. This figure is greater than in last year's 8, when the central bank provided 163.2 trillion rupiah. Bank Indonesia Deputy Governor Rosmaya Hadi said a bigger amount of cash is prepared to anticipate public needs during the long holiday. Rosmaya said in Jakarta on Wednesday that Bank Indonesia always prefers cash, although the central bank has electronic money because people still prefer to hold some cash. The government has decided that this year's Eid leave will be from June 11 to June 20. Other banks that had prepared to increase their volume of cash include Bank Central Asia and Bank National Indonesia. Bank National Indonesia official had also stated that the bank will stay open during the Eid leave, albeit with limited operations and services. Indonesian wrestlers from the 18 Asian Games 2018 in Jakarta and Palembang from August 18 to September 2nd are training with members of a national team from Bulgaria in Chamakov. Men's freestyle coach Jul Haider said in an official statement received by Antara News Agency on Tuesday that the wrestlers who specially trained with the Bulgarian national team are those who would perform in the men's freestyle event. They follow all their training programs in Chamakov. Jul Haider explained that Indonesian wrestlers could obtain a lot of benefits from the training program and matches with their sparring partners. He added, besides increasing their experience, they also apply programs that have so far been implemented. The Indonesian wrestling teams have been in Bulgaria for the past month for training ahead of Asian Games. While the men's freestyle team is training in Chamakov, the women's freestyle and men's Grigo teams are training in Sofia. Well, listener, that was the news.
Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, here is the commentary. Commentary today is entitled, It Needs a Joint Movement to Combat ISIS. The Islamic State group of Iraq and Syria, or ISIS, have left the Syrian capital. As reported, the Syrian military has forced the radical liberal group out of Damascus after the military completely controlled the city. The expulsion of ISIS from Damascus has made the citizens of Damascus feel more relaxed and able to observe their holy month Ramadan in peace. But not long after the ISIS left Damascus, at least 26 Syrian troops and their allies were reportedly attacked and killed by the ISIS group in the Badia region. A human rights monitoring organization in Syria reported ISIS attacked one of military headquarters at dawn, targeting the government forces in Badia desert area on the Iraqi and Syrian border. The expulsion of the ISIS group from Damascus and the following ceasefire did not immediately stop the acts of violence by ISIS. Attempts to eliminate the group cannot be done by the Syrian government alone. The location of the radical group movements in the Iraqi and Syrian border should be jointly carried out by both countries. The problem is, their concentration is not just to combat ISIS, which had entered the territory of Syria and controlled parts of Damascus from 2015 until they were forced out just recently. The civil war crisis in Syria then became one of ISIS' opportunities to enter the country. Until now, Syria is still struggling with the civil war that began raging in 2011 and has costed thousands of lives and devastated parts of the region. The same thing also happened to Iraq. Therefore, ISIS can still move by utilizing the chaos in both countries. Not only that, the efforts to anticipate the development of ISIS should also be the attentions of other countries. The impact of ISIS on a number of countries, including Indonesia, has caused them to make serious efforts to anticipate the effects of this government. ISIS has now become an international threat. Cohesiveness in stopping the group should be a common concern. Well, listener, that was commentary today.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Hello, listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. We start from an event which occurred on May 23, 1906. Wright brothers received patents. The Wright brothers, comprising two siblings, Orville Wright and Wilbur Wright, were generally appreciated for the design of the first effective aircraft and made the first controlled flight using heavier engine aircraft than air. On May 23, 1906, they were granted the United States patents for their homemade glibs, namely any engine or vehicles which capable to fly in the atmosphere. We are now moving on to a commemoration of the World Turtle Day on May 23, 2000. The World Turtle Day is celebrated all over the world on May 23 annually. The World Turtle Day was firstly initiated by the American Tortoise Rescue NGO in 1990 and was firstly celebrated in 2000. This anniversary was aimed to draw the attention of the people in the world to the existence of turtles, to increase knowledge and respect the existence of turtles, and encourage all sides across the world to help turtles survive and thrive, as well as to save endangered species of turtles. We end today's segment of Today in History with an event of Mohammad Khatami was elected as Iranian president. Mohammad Khatami is an Iranian intellectual, philosopher, and politician. He was elected as president on May 23, 1997, and re-elected on June 8, 2001 for the second time. Most Iranian women and youth choose Khatami because of his promise to improve women's status and responded to the demand of Iranian young generation. Mohammad Khatami is considered the first reformist president in Iran because his campaign focuses on law enforcement and democracy. However, his rule of thumb was often at odds with hardliner group and Islamic conservatives within the Iranian government, which controls major governmental organizations, such as the Council of Protection, whose members were elected by the Supreme Leader. Listener, that was today's regular segment of Today in History.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku. My Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Welcome to My Indonesia. Today, we'll bring you a topic about Indonesian Chamber of Commerce forms Indian Bilateral Committee to increase economic relations. The Chamber of Commerce and Industry Kadin Indonesia,
together with the Embassy of the Republic of India in Jakarta, established the Bilateral Committee of India to encourage the enhancement of economic cooperation between businessmen from Indonesia and India. Vice Chairman of Kadin on International Relations, Sinta Wijaya Kamdani, in the inauguration of the Indian Bilateral Committee for Indonesian Chamber of Commerce in Jakarta on Friday, May 18, said that the committee is ready to facilitate Indonesian-Indian businessmen who are interested to expand their business in the two countries. The committee works under the coordination of Kadin on International Relations. Sinta Wijaya Kamdani also said that the Bilateral Committee of India will become a catalyst in improving economic relations and achieving the investment and trade targets of the two countries' businessmen, especially in six sectors, namely mining, infrastructure, manufacture, pharmaceutical, digital, and service sectors. In addition, the Indian Committee will provide needed information to simplify the businessmen of both countries. The six sectors are the focus of the deal generated by entrepreneurs from both countries at the CEO Forum Indonesia-India 2016, which was held on the sidelines of President Joko Widodo's visit to India in December 2016. Indian Ambassador to Indonesia Pradeep Kumarawat on the same occasion said that there is still a lot of cooperation that can be explored by Indonesian and Indian businessmen. Indian Ambassador Pradeep Kumarawat moreover said that India opens wide opportunities for Indonesian business sectors to cooperate with India in various sectors. Therefore, the existence of the Bilateral Committee of India will encourage the availability of relevant information for the development of Indonesian and Indian businesses. The committee also plays a role in promoting the Indonesian and Indian markets, which become government's priority, and providing input to encourage conducive conditions for business cooperation between the two countries. He said cooperation can support each other to improve relationships and concern on the matter that happened in Indonesia and India, things that can be offered by Indonesia to India and vice versa. Central Bureau of Statistics noted that Indonesia-India trade balance in 2016 worth $12.9 billion, with a total export value of $10.2 billion and the import value of $2.1 billion. In 2017, Indonesia-India's trade balance increased by 28.7%, and in the period of January to March 2018, Indonesia and India's trade balance declined. Both countries set a target of $50 billion for trade and investment by 2025. That was today's My Indonesia.
Here is news in brief from Dalat Pane. Indonesian Ambassador to the Islamic Republic of Iran, Octaviano Alimuddin, said the bilateral cooperation between Indonesia and Iran in politics and economy increased significantly. The biggest threat for Indonesia is the threat towards state ideology. It was stated by Indonesian Defense Minister Ria Mizar Yakudu after brief personnel of Army Strategic Reserve Command at the headquarters of Division 1 Kastrat in Cilodong, West Java on Tuesday. Indonesian Foreign Ministry said in a press statement on Tuesday that the Indonesian government has called all G20 member countries to become global models and problem solvers amidst the many uncertainties in the world. Indonesia and Japan agreed to increase their support of humanitarian aid to Palestinian refugees during the G20 Foreign Ministers' meeting in Buenos Aires, Argentina. The House of Representatives Special Committee for the Anti-Terrorism Law Team is meeting with the government in Jakarta Wednesday. The meeting is to discuss the definition of terrorism. Muhammad Safi'i, chairman of the special committee, said there is a phrase that the team believes to be necessary to be included in defining terrorism, but the government has not included in their presentation. Bank Indonesia is preparing to provide 188.2 trillion rupiah cash money during the 2018 Eid holiday. This figure is greater than in last year's Eid when the central bank provided 163.2 trillion rupiahs. Indonesian wrestlers for the 18th Asian Games 2018 in Jakarta and Palembang from August 18 to September 2 are training with members of a national team from Bulgaria in Chamakov. Men's freestyle coach Joel Haider said in an official statement received by Antara News Agency that the wrestlers who specially train with the Bulgarian national team are those who would perform in the men's freestyle event. Well, listener, that was news in brief.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to tradition of Batu Pemali from East Nusa Tenggara. Stay tuned. Listeners, Belu and Malaka people East Nusa Tenggara hold a tradition of Batu Pemali every year in July until November. The tradition is animals slaughtering ritual. Usually, the animals which become offering are buffaloes and chickens. Besides, in the ritual, some betel leaves and areca nuts are offered. Listeners, the tradition of Batu Pemali is a ritual which is conducted as form of gratitude to ancestors and the god. The offering is conducted at Pemali place such as Kasadan, Sadan Lurik or Batu Pemali on the peak of Mount Mandeu, Raimanuk district, Faturika village. The location can be reached for 2 hours from Atambua City. Listeners, according to belief of Belu people, the soul of the ancestors and nature is closely related to them. They believe if the ancestors live on media in the universe. One of them is Batu Pemali, which is located at the traditional forest and Pemali places. Batu Pemali or Sadan Lurik has forms of stone structure which is arranged well in a round circle as high as 1 meter or more. It can be said that Batu Pemali looks like pundan terraces. Listeners, the tradition starts by saying traditional oath or promise. After saying oath, the participants of the ritual must fulfill their oath or promise, because if not, they take the risk of their life. Thus, the oaths, utterance, must be jointly agreed first from the heads of traditional procession. Listeners, in the tradition of Batu Pemali, head of Belu tribe along his residence must be present so that all people can witness rules which are agreed. After the procession of the oath ritual, the offering is put on stone structure. The place is the main place to put the offering. After putting the offering, the participants of the ritual cooperate to clean ancestors' tombs. Listeners, that was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today, featuring the tradition of Batu Pemali in Belu East Nusa Tenggara Province. Thank you for listening.
To speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly, we present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. The segment of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a cooperation of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the Language Development Agency, the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is Singgah di Toko Swalayan, or in English, Stop by the Supermarket. Stay tuned. Next is a conversation about singgah di toko swalayan, or in English, stop by the supermarket. Tony is on the taxi for Joko's house. The taxi driver is a woman. On the way, Tony wants to stop by the supermarket, and let's follow the conversation.
Maaf, bisa berhenti dulu di toko itu?
Oh, baik, Pak.
Tolong tunggu sebentar ya, Bu.
Iya, Pak, silakan.
After the conversation, now I'll introduce some expressions related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly and twice, and you can follow after me. Berhenti. Berhenti, in English, to stop. Toko. Toko, in English, shop or store. Anjungan tunai mandiri. Anjungan tunai mandiri, or ATM. In English, automated teller machine or ATM. Maaf, bisa berhenti dulu di toko itu? Maaf, bisa berhenti dulu di toko itu? In English, sorry, can we stop at the store? Tunggu sebentar ya. Tunggu sebentar ya. In English, wait a minute, please. When you are on the way and you want to ask the driver to stop, you can say, Maaf, bisa berhenti dulu? Or you can also say, Tolong berhenti dulu di toko itu. There is another expression by using the word mampir. For example, Bisa mampir dulu di toko itu? Bisa mampir dulu di toko itu? While to ask someone to wait, you can say, Tolong tunggu sebentar. Or, in an interrogative sentence, bisa tunggu sebentar? For example, Tony, tolong mampir dulu di ATM. Tolong mampir dulu di ATM. In English, can we stop at the ATM? Driver, baik pak, baik pak. In English, okay sir. Tony, bisa tunggu sebentar? Bisa tunggu sebentar? In English, please wait a minute. Driver, ya, akan saya tunggu. Ya, akan saya tunggu. In English, okay, I will wait. Or, don't worry.
Listener, before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, for your listening clearly, let's follow again the conversation.
Maaf, bisa berhenti dulu di toko itu?
Oh, baik, Pak.
Tolong tunggu sebentar ya, Bu.
Iya, Pak. Silakan.
As an exercise, please send us your voice recording in Indonesian language to our email address at voi@voinews.id. There will be interesting prizes for the selected senders. Please describe a tourist spot in your country by mentioning the country's name, the name of the tourism object, the location, and the weather in that place. Please convey more information if any. For example, Selamat pagi, negara saya Indonesia, memiliki tempat wisata Candi Prambanan yang terletak di kota Yogyakarta. Cuaca sekitar Candi Prambanan panas. Gudeg adalah makanan khas Yogyakarta. Well, listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today's edition. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you next week with another interesting topic. Goodbye for now. Sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, welcome to Music Corner. In today's edition, we will present some Indonesian religious songs. Well listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Sujudku by Abby 3. Happy listening. Thank you. You've just listened to the song Sujudku by Abbey 3. The song tells about someone who remembers unhappy memory when he or she prostrating to God Almighty, realizing the darkness of life. The person begged a second chance to improve his life. The deep, meaningful religious song was performed in a pop rhythm that's still pleasant to listen. Listener, the next song entitled Dekaplah Aku Ya Allah by Anima. With fully pop rhythm, the song Dekaplah Aku Ya Allah tells about blessing of God. The presence of God and His blessing makes sadness change to happiness. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Dekaplah Aku Ya Allah by Anima Band. Happy listening.
Dikala ku merasa sepi, kadang bila aku sedang sendiri, hanya Kaulah yang selalu menemani. Hanya Engkaulah yang Maha Kuasa. Sedihku jadi gembiraku, lelahku kan menjadi kekuatanku, pedihku kan menjadi bahagiaku. Bila Kau selalu ada di hatiku, jadi gembiraku, lelahku kan menjadi kekuatanku, pedihku kan menjadi bahagiaku. Bila Kau selalu ada di hatiku,
have two other Indonesian religious songs that we will present to you in this musical presentation. The next song entitled Jalan Cahaya by Ada Band featuring Ubid. Jalan Cahaya is a song tells about gratitude expression to God Almighty. The lyrics of the song Jalan Cahaya also contain prayer for guidance to stay permanently on the right path. Unlike the previous songs which contain expression of gratitude, the next song tells about an order for doing good. The song entitled Rasul Menyuruh Kita Mencintai Anak Yatim by Atina and Andirif contains fairly simple lyrics. The song tells about the world is full of unfortunate people. Therefore, it should be shared equally in accordance with the Prophet's command to love orphans and the poor. Well, listener, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Jalan Cahaya by Adaban and Ubid and Rasul Menyuruh Kita Mencintai Anak Yatim by Atina and Andirif. Happy listening. Sampai jumpa. Goodbye for now.
Yang kehausan di sepanjang kerura punya dunia ku selalu merindukan belainmu ku ingin kau selalu bertata dalam kalbuku kau hadir di setiap helaan nafasku salirkan butiran darahku betapa suci dan agung cintamu tak sanggup nalarku memikirkanmu ku ingin kau selalu bertahan dalam batinku bimbinglah aku dalam pelukanmu, jangan lepaskan lagi. Izinkan malaikat menjagaku dari kelamnya nafsu dunia. Bawalah aku ke jalan cahaya dalam kerajaanmu. Jadikan mimpiku jelas. Purna menyatu dalam istana surga. Kemana kapalmu kan berlabuh?
Di sana juga kau bermuara.
Kemana pun hidupmu kau arahkan.
Voice of Indonesia. Let's make the world green. Voice of Indonesia, let's make the world green.
Salatullah.
Thank you for listening to Indonesia Today from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast every day from 1500 hours Western Indonesia time or 800 hours UTC through www.voinews.id or through mobile application RRI Play.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.